welcome to episode 51 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Robin, and this week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Sandy, Elizabeth, and Andy. We book trips for a lot of families of all shapes and sizes. Whether you have one kid or six, travel presents some challenges that you might not experience when traveling with only adults. Although travel is exciting and varied, there are also some slow lulls in the process. Tonight, we thought we would share some of our tips for how to keep our kids occupied during those slower moments. So let's get started.
Well, I think I'm the queen of the road trips because I was driving my kids to Pittsburgh and Myrtle Beach and all over by myself a lot from the time they were like teeny tiny babies, especially when Fox was year-round and the twins weren't in school yet and I could just take off at every break and go visit cousins and stuff like that. So I got some tips for this one.
All right. So bring it. And I want to say we're going to start astray from the normal Nintendo DS and DVDs. I think, those are sort of the obvious go-tos, and there's nothing wrong with those. No judgment. We're looking for some of the different things to do, other ways to pass the time.
More creative.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I took a five-year-old overseas on a flight to England, so I've got some ideas.
Oh, yeah.
We both survived. Yeah, and should go for a while.
Live to tell the tale. Uh-huh. So let's talk about sort of those long journeys, and it can be road trips, it can be air, so Andy, what did you do with that 5-year-old other than,
lots of duct tape.
Yeah. That's
what I was thinking. He was massively into pirates at the time, so he wore a pirate costume onto the plane.
Oh, wow.
They were going to let us on. Those swords. I wasn't that crazy, but we had connecting flights. I think it was in Philadelphia. We were getting off the flight and, realized at that point that we'd actually left the pirate hat on the seat of the plane.
So it was no.
Yeah, we had to beat a hasty retreat back onto the plane through everybody else getting deplaning to get this hat. Otherwise, the 8-hour flight to England would have been, even worse.
Uh-huh.
But, get them, dress them in something comfortable and something with something that they enjoy. And other than that, it was just a lot of books and snacks and things like that, just to sort of keep them occupied. Fortunately, a transatlantic flight comes with the in-flight entertainment system, typically, mm-hmm. and that was a godsend. I know we're trying not to talk about DSs and things, but, it's something that comes on an international flight. This was, although you might want to prep your younger child for the fact that they will be wearing maybe headphones for the first time.
Good point.
And, the dad, this movie is awesome.
So I'm curious with the costume, did that actually, one of the big things about taking kids on flights are your fellow passengers, right? Everybody eyes your child, are you going to keep me awake the whole time? Are you going to kick my chair? Was that endearing to other passengers or did it make them more suspicious of you? What was the reaction?
There were a few comments, but to be honest, once he settled down and had his kids in flight meal and the lion ball swing, very little was said. I mean, to be honest, the flight to England is through the night, and we didn't fly until about 8:30, so everybody was kind of settling down, including him, and, he was actually a model passenger. So.
Love when that happens.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Make him sleep.
Coming back during the day for, a 28-hour day was another story.
But, mm-hmm.
I remember one time we were driving to Washington, D.C. the day after Halloween, and I decided to let the kids have a couple pieces of their candy. And the twins were 3. I don't know what I was thinking other than this would keep them quiet. But at one point, I turned around and Ellie had peanut butter in her eyebrows. And she's like, look what happened. And I'm like, oh, it just happened, right? I think Fox might have been giving her stuff. That was awful. But she was happy.
I found we've taken some road. I'm sorry, Robin. Go ahead.
That's okay. No, go on.
I found that we've taken some road trips this summer. I have two kids and there's 7 years in age between them. I have a preteen, almost teen, and a kindergartner, boy and girl. And we found that audiobooks are really good for road trips. The challenge is actually finding something that's entertaining and appropriate for both mm-hmm. kids. Mm-hmm. But a lot of sort of young adult like fantasy novels, Aragorn was a big favorite, as well as Roald Dahl.
That's a good idea.
Found a hit, the gap between the two of them and where they both enjoy it. The BFG was what we listened to on our recent road trip to Washington, D.C.
I tried to do that on our last road trip, and my husband poo-pooed the idea. He turned it down. And I got a book specifically with him in mind. It was a sci-fi book. I knew there was nothing too bad for the kids, and Fox reads what he reads, but they wouldn't listen to it. It's Station 11. It's kind of a big book.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Well, and I think sometimes if they're not too focused, it can distract from the book. So the book becomes, but if you get them right into it, then it can really work.
Yeah, I probably should have let them pick out, I don't know. It didn't work for me.
when we actually went to the library as a family and picked out the audiobooks, and there was a little bit of heated debate maybe about what should be chosen. But we were able to work things out, and the choices ended up being good ones, and everyone was happy, and it enabled me to be able to concentrate on driving, knowing that these two weren't sort of poking each other in the head while we were driving too much.
You know, we did have, one time we had a Skippy John Jones book, which is a children's book about a Siamese cat who thinks he's a chihuahua, and it came with a DVD, or not a DVD, a CD, where they read, the author read it, and she did it in like the accents, and I am not Siamese, I am a chihuahua. It was like a 10-minute CD, and they made me listen to that thing over and over and over. Yeah, they liked that one. That one was great.
And of course, that's just the short book, so you've got to listen to it about 157 times in Pittsburgh, right? So,
yeah. Oh, God, yeah, they just wanted to hear it over and over. Yeah, it was crazy. I was happy to pass that on.
Robin, go ahead.
I remember before I had kids, we were on this flight, and they ended up being on this flight with this family on two different flights. And I used to be the person that would see the kids and go, oh, my God, this is going to be terrible. And I want to tell you, this lady, she had three kids. I'm guessing one was probably in, like, kindergarten, one was a toddler, and one was a baby. And she had stuff for all of them. She had a blanket she put out in the terminal in between the flights. She had snacks for them. I went over to her after the second flight and said to her, I didn't even realize your kids were on this flight again because they were so quiet and they were so good. And I vowed that when I had kids, I was going to not. And so Alex flew cross country before she was one, like four times, because we lived in California and my family lived on the East Coast. And I used to bring all sorts of stuff for her, as at the different ages, I would bring different toys. I would, when she got older, I would go to the dollar store and get things and give them to her, like dole them out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You want to like space that stuff out too. Don't dump everything at once. Yeah.
I messed that up the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've all made that mistake at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually just found this product and I can't remember what it's called, but they're these drawstring bags that basically lay flat, and then so it turns into a play mat, and they come in all different sizes, and they actually make one that's airplane size that's meant to fit on a on your tray table. And this is going to sound like a disaster waiting to happen, but it's fantastic. You can put Legos in it, and then...
Because those never get lost.
Yeah, but you got to limit it, and don't put in, like... little teeny tiny Legos. And then they play on the playmat, and then it literally just draws up into the drawstring bag. So as long as you sort of, and you can make a game out of, don't drop the Legos, and they'll drop one or two, probably, because, klutzes. But even if you lose one or two, I wouldn't bring like a big, don't bring the Batmobile or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But just enough to sort of creatively play. It can work really well. You can do it in a car too, but then they have to do it on their laps, and that doesn't go so well.
Yeah.
So,
because you don't have a table in the car.
So one of my favorite things to do in a car was something that we did as a kid before there were Nintendo DSs or even Game Boys or really even Walkmen. And that was car bingo. Did anybody play car bingo?
I did not. No.
Do you not know what that is?
It's we actually played that like once when we went to Disney World the first time as a family, but I never played it as a kid. We used to play the license plate game and, you know, but we never played Car Bingo until my kids were like in grade school.
Remind me of the rules of Car Bingo. Yeah.
Not that you don't know. Well, and it can vary. I mean, there are like if Cracker Barrel, they'll actually sell Car Bingo cards where you can play actual bingo where there's sliders for things like a pine tree or an exit sign or things like, you know, things that you normally see on a road trip. But the way we played it, we didn't have cards and it really isn't bingo at all. But what it was an alphabet game. And, actually on the way back, we actually were driving back from Columbia, South Carolina recently, my daughter and me, it was just the two of us. And, my daughter was completely bored with mom. My conversation was not exciting at all. So I taught her how to play and she actually loved it. She really got into it where you basically start with the letter A. And you look at road signs and you pull one letter off of a road sign. So if you're driving by a sign that says, say, Columbia, it has an A on it. There's the A and then you're done.
And
that's
B and a C.
Well, you can't use the B and the C from the same sign. You have to use individual signs. There's gotta be rules.
I call that the alphabet game.
Okay. There's the alphabet game too. So, and then whoever finds, and so it's more fun if you're playing against each other. My sister and I would play against each other. And so you wouldn't tell each other if you saw something on a sign and you'd hope that somebody missed the J or the X. Yeah. And that you could get ahead. And then whoever got to Z first is the winner. And then you start all over again.
Well, what do you, if you didn't tell them, you just write it down?
Yeah, you just keep it in your head. And it's a trust thing.
Oh.
It wouldn't work in your car, would it?
Shout it out. Thank you. So my cousin, I have a lot of cousins who are teachers. And one of my cousins taught my kids this game that they love. And they still do it now. And I can remember, I mean, we've done it like in Virginia Beach where we have like 2 miles to walk and we'll start playing this game and before they know it, they've walked 2 miles and they're not complaining. But it's basically an alphabet kind of game and you have to, like everybody goes around and you go in order of the letters and you have to say a name, a city that you're from, a pet that you have, and what you like to do with all that letter. So
just for that letter.
Yeah. So if like I'm D, I'm like, I'm Dawn, I'm from Denver, I have a dog, I like to dance, you know, but you can come up with some. Yeah. I mean, yeah, my kids love that game. They love it. And they come up with some really funny stuff. So,
we play that one too. And it does get quite creative and the sooner the better. Yeah.
And there's a version of that too, where it's a memory game. So you say, A, my name is Alice. And the next person says, A, my name is Alice. B, my name is Bob. Mm-hmm. And the next person says, A, my name is Alice. B, my name is Bob. C, my name is Carl or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it gets harder and harder as it goes on.
We used to do that at camp.
Yeah, that's where I learned that game as well. So that works really well. And that actually can be a fun thing to do in a line. So that's another thing I wanted to talk about tonight was what to do in lines at Disney World or at any theme park. Because sometimes those lines can be really long and kids can get rather whiny. So do you guys have any tricks for standing in line at theme parks?
Our first trip to Disney, bubbles and using the phone to take pictures. My daughter, she just turned 6. It's her first trip to Disney World, and she had to have taken 200 pictures of herself on lines because she was so bored. That made her happy, and it stopped her from being cranky. So what's the big deal?
Yeah.
We actually have pictures that I'd like to submit to, like, the North Carolina Museum of Art that Marcus took at Disney World one time from his stroller. So it's like this whole perspective thing. Disney World, you've never seen it before because it's all like looking up from the stroller. So, and there's hundreds of them.
We do hidden Mickeys. We look for hidden Mickeys in line at Disney. I mean, I guess you can't do it at Carowinds or something, but that's always a lot of fun.
You can look for them, but they won't be as easy.
I don't know. Sometimes you start seeing them everywhere, I guess, though, if you're really looking for them. I've seen them in places that weren't Disney.
Yeah. Actually, I think your husband and I have played obvious Mickeys in line too. So whatever entertains you.
Yeah.
So I said we weren't going to talk about DSs and things, but let's talk about some smartphone apps. You mentioned phones and pictures. Do you guys have any favorites that you use to pass the time as a family that you can play together?
Well, we've never done this as a family, but the last Bachelorette weekend I was at, we did this app, and I have to find out the name of it, but basically, it was kind of like charades, and you had to hold the phone up to your forehead so everyone else could shout out clues to you.
It's called Heads Up.
Yeah.
That's okay. The one I was going to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah, it was so much fun. So I know it could totally be okay for kids. Yeah.
Have you guys, Andy and Robin, have you ever played that one?
We have the game. We have the actual game.
Oh, okay.
We played it at home.
So, Andy, you said you've played it, but not in line?
No, I've heard of it.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's actually, it was really fun. We actually played it in line at Test Track, and other people started playing with us.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they started jumping out on the clues and things. So, yeah, it was really fun.
That's a good idea. I should download that for my next trip.
Yeah, the only thing is you have to be really careful that you download decks that your kids can use, because there are some decks like Animals, which are pretty universal, but then there's stuff like Movies, and my kids don't know a ton of movies. So those are better with older kids or adults.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Do you guys have any apps that you like to use?
Not really.
The Hidden Mickeys does have an app, and you can buy it. And yeah, so if you are standing in line at a certain ride, you can see that there's like 3 Hidden Mickeys in the line, and you can cheat like I do and just figure out what they are, and then go ahead and show them all to your kids. But yeah, there's an app for that one.
Andy, you showed me an app last week that was really cool. Have you ever tried to play that one with your kids? You know the one I'm talking about? Okay. It was that 100 Picks app?
Oh, that's a game.
Yeah. Well, they're all games. So, but it was like a word, like anagrams and pictures and things. And my kids like to play those on their own, but that can be a fun thing to sort of look at as a family and try and work together.
So, I will tell you, man, the electronic thing, though, keeps them quiet. I mean, my cousins... their kids are quite a bit younger than my kids. They're like 5, 6, you know, 3. And they just huddle up with my kids in the back seat, and they all just stare at that screen, you know. And although we have a DVD player in our car, too. So, they'll go to like one movie over and over and over again. One year it was this old Peanuts movie called Snoopy's Reunion or something like that. It was like an 80s made-for-TV thing, and it was all about Snoopy and his when he was a puppy and... You know, oh my God, it was ridiculous. It was like, there was like a flash dance scene, you know?
So I remember that one.
Yeah. It's like leg warmers on the dog.
I think the thing about DVDs is the same problem that we sort of talked about with audiobooks. Unless you get a consensus like Andy did with his kids, you know, the DVDs always cause an argument in my car, you know?
You know, the cool thing though is, if you've ever rented from Redbox, you can get one here and then return it in your destination and get another one, you know, so you can return them anywhere.
That's cool.
Yeah, so those are kind of cool, and you can switch it out to something different. And they're cheap. They're like $1 a day. You know? So.
Does anybody else have any suggestions, things that have worked for you?
Bribery. Put that on the list.
If it works, I'll use it.
I'm glad nobody actually brought up Benadryl for the flights.
Oh, yeah.
That's a very typical one.
That's kind of a not secret secret, right?
Yeah. I think... And then I'll admit, exactly. not when they didn't actually need it for like a very small, maybe rash red spot. But, yeah. So, one other good way to pass the time, I think, is to tell stories about where you're going, to really talk about the destination and use that as a, and I was thinking about this more, you know, we've done some podcast episodes on bus tours and things like that around Europe or other places. And Andy, you said you didn't have a lot of kids on your bus tours. So you may not have any other thoughts, but just talking about, you know, the next place we're going while you're on the bus to sort of get them ready for it.
Yeah, one of the coolest ones we ever did was when my son Owen was all about dinosaurs, and he knew the names of like every dinosaur. He would pretend he was a dinosaur when he was like walking in the woods by himself, and we took him to the tar pits in LA, the La Brea tar pits, and you know, we kind of talked about it. There aren't dinosaurs there, but there's like mammoth, and you know, it's very cool, and it's still bubbling up, you know? I mean, it was just, he was so into that, but he was so excited to go there. And when I told my cousins, they're like, really? That's where we're going? Yeah. I'm like, yes! Oh, this is Owen's big thing. This is what he wants to do. So, yeah, he loved that.
Okay, well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away, or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, Andy, and myself, Robin, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.